Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri. I am your host, Jacob. Here with me, as always, are my co-hosts, TJ and Alex. And folks, the season series against the Ottawa Senators has come to a dramatic conclusion. The Panthers sweeping the series, outscoring the Senators 16-2 across those four matchups, including three shutouts. Alex, I just want to throw it straight to you. Your thoughts about the Florida Panthers' performance against the cup-contending Ottawa Senators this season?
Well, first of all, I'm not in the loop with your... Well, maybe I am in the loop. I've seen a couple Twitter posts. But, the Panthers, it's hard to sweep a season series, and the Panthers not only swept it, but as you said, 16-2, three shutouts. And, they made light work of the Senators this year. I personally expected a little bit, well, a lot more. I thought Ottawa was making the playoffs. I said it before the season even started on air. So, and if you're wondering why I sound different than usual, got a little bit of cold right now. Caught it at the game. So
wait a minute, the real Alex would never say that he predicted the Senators to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's how we knew you were an imposter. We were going along with the voice thing, but
folks, I would be remiss if I did not mention that joining us today is our friend from Five Reasons Sports, Mr. Alex Baumgartner.
Thanks, guys. I'm happy that we were able to lead off the show with a little bit of fun. I mean, I know you were poking fun at the Senators. I was more poking fun at Alex not being here.
We totally thrust this on Baum, and he just went with it like a pro.
Hey, the fastest game on the ice, fastest podcast in South Florida, right?
Let's
here.
Go.
There we go.
Let's
love it.
Go.
The Panthers down to their final three games of the regular season. This will likely be our final episode of the regular season, barring post-mortem slash playoff preview. Panthers at home against Columbus, Buffalo, and Toronto to finish off the season, and even 3 points behind Boston and 3 points ahead of Toronto. I mean, even in the way that they're equidistant from Boston and Toronto, not that three is an even number. We know it is not. Leafs have a game in hand, though. So, gentlemen, where do we think that the Panthers finish up after 82? They've got a shot at first. They've got a shot at second. They got a shot at third.
Yeah, I mean, right now, it sort of feels like it's about 10% chance they win the division, 10% chance they finish third, and about 80% chance they finish second, and that they face the Leafs in round one with home ice advantage. Now, I do want to mention that Panthers have a pretty iffy track record in the last few years, starting a playoff series at home. So maybe Paul Maurice is going to get his thinking cap on and say to himself, well, maybe we got to take matters into our own hands. Figure out a way to repeat the success of last year, where every Eastern Conference series started on the road and every Eastern Conference series was won by the Florida Panthers. So that is one thought. I mean, being completely serious, you do want to be at home for as many games as you can. But we learned last year that it's not a particularly important thing. And one other thing that I was thinking about today that I did want to bring up, I'm not sure if it's completely on topic, but I'm going to say that it is. There's some people out there that are a little bit worried about momentum coming into the playoffs. I mean, the Panthers have had a pretty rough stretch since about mid-March. I want everybody to go back to 2021. And think about how psyched they were when the Panthers swept the Lightning in that two-game series at, back then it was FLA Live Arena, I believe. And they stole home ice in that series. And we were saying, wow, this is, you know, we're setting the table. We have all the momentum. Things are going to go great. And guess what happened? The Lightning came out, game one, same building as the previous two that they had lost. Didn't matter. Won both games. 2-0 series lead. And that ended up being too much for them to come back from. So, food for thought. Maybe momentum isn't the most important thing in the world.
Yeah, for me, honestly, if they were on like a 10-game skid going into the playoffs and not only losing, but not playing their brand of hockey, I'll be honest, that one 10-day period where they had Dallas, Carolina, Nashville, they looked terrible. Even that Dallas game, they looked bad. I thought the Toronto game was pretty bad until that third period when they kind of woke up and they almost
Yeah.
pulled it back. The Montreal game was kind of like following up on that Toronto game. Everything just kind of seemed off. The next two games, though, into Ottawa, and then that Boston game was very, very good hockey, minus a couple mistakes, obviously leading to an overtime loss. But all three of those Boston games against the top team in the division were one goal games, two in overtime. I think those kind of tighter playoff-esque games really got the Panthers going against Boston. And we saw them continue it last game where, with a very boring but defensive style kind of shut it down game against the Senators. So I'm not overly worried. I honestly wasn't worried even when they played like crap, honestly, against the Leafs because they didn't play good. This team has been able to get themselves out of holes and kind of mesh a little bit, get their game together. And I'm not even going to talk about the guys that they're getting back when the playoffs start or they should be getting back. I'm just talking about overall getting your game right. I think finishing the regular season at home is extremely important. The NHL hasn't necessarily been the kindest to the Panthers in certain
Yeah.
scheduling. They got a bone this one, you know, getting about a 10, 12-day block before the playoffs even starts to kind of just sit at home. And that helps with Ekblad and Verhage. You get to skate with the
Yeah, for sure.
trainers. You get to skate away from the media pretty much every day. I don't know if Ekblad's skating, but I know Verhage is. That's what Marie said. But
I
look, it's
think
important.
Ekblad is skating, yeah.
He
I'm not sure.
probably is. I can't recall if he was announced that he was skating, but nonetheless, if they think he's there for game one, he's probably skating right now. But yeah, I think experience is more important in the playoffs than anything. If we look at former cup champions, at least in recent years, I mean, you know, Tampa won a three straight cup finals, but before that, they had cup final, they had multiple deep playoff runs, and they just couldn't get it together. And then they did. And Tampa still has a dynasty, and they still could play spoiler against whoever they play in the playoffs. I
Yeah.
think Colorado had a couple years of disappointment, President's Trophy, playoff disappointment, boom, they win the cup. I think Florida, they're kind of following that trend a bit. President's Trophy, two disappointing playoff series in that Washington and Tampa. Then you go back, get into the playoffs, Stanley Cup final. Now you have a deeper team. You really understand what they've built here. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go over the cup final again, but this isn't the same Panthers team that was running people out of the building and then they kind of fell apart in the playoffs. This is a team that, even if they're down in the series, they're going to give their best. And we've seen it last year. And I just think they're built for playoff hockey.
And I do want to point out that the Panthers' home and away splits are actually they favor being on the road.
Yeah, and I mean, it was fairly even until they went on a little bit of a skid.
There was a brief shining moment where I think they were 24-1, both home and away.
Yeah, it was like identical.
For a very brief moment, for like a day or two, the Panthers had identical home and away records.
I mean, both you and TJ brought up great points. The Panthers haven't, well, TJ brought this part up. Panthers didn't have great success at home. Opening at home during the playoffs, you know, you get in as the last wild card team, you win every single series in the Eastern Conference. You sweep Carolina, you get Tampa or Toronto in five, winning all three games in their barn, and that's not an easy building to win in the playoffs. I mean, neither of those ones are, and you know, you beat Boston, which is probably the toughest building of the three in a playoff series. So, I mean, whether they start at home or on the road, I don't think it's like you're probably playing Toronto at this point. I mean, I still think it's Boston has a hard schedule. I think harder than when I say hard, it's like you got two teams that are still fighting for a playoff
Yeah,
spot
true.
compared to Buffalo, which is out, pretty much out. Columbus, which is
Columbus,
done.
who I think was the first team eliminated.
Yeah, and then that it all comes down to that Toronto game. And that Toronto game is going to decide, are we resting players? Who are we starting in the as in goal? I mean, Maurice said last game, I know who I'm starting the next two games, which basically means if we haven't clinched anything yet, we're not resting anyone game three or the final game of the season. So those are some things to look out for.
So Boston does go up against Pittsburgh and Washington
Yeah.
before finishing the season at home against Ottawa.
Yeah, both those games on the road.
In Pittsburgh, in Washington, and then it's a back to back their last two games. They're in Washington and then at home against Ottawa the very next night. So I there is a world in which Boston loses out, which is hilarious to me, depending on how much Pittsburgh and Washington fight for, that first wild or that second wild card spot.
Yeah, and then you're gifted Tampa Bay in the first round. So, I mean,
I'm not sure I'd say gifted.
no, exactly. Like
Yeah,
pick
you
your
said
poison,
gifted.
right? Finish first in the division, you're probably getting Tampa Bay, who I wouldn't want to play Tampa Bay if
Which
I'm any team.
I said it a few episodes back when we first started talking about potential matchups. I want Tampa. I want the Panthers to play the Lightning. That is a dragon that this team needs to slay.
Look, I understand a lot of people down here really want Florida to win a cup while beating Tampa. Personally, for me, just kind of looking at it from an unbiased lens, just because I'm not picking favorites anywhere. It's like you either run into Andrei Vasilevskiy, who turned into a demon every time he hits the playoffs, or you're getting a Toronto team with probably Samsonov starting, and the Panthers have fared pretty well against him. But I mean, Toronto's also made the playoffs, I think, every single year since Matthews been drafted. So that whole core is also looking for something.
Crazy that they've only won one round in that time.
Exactly. And Florida's the perfect team. They probably want Florida in the first round, too. I mean, so I don't
True.
really pick the matchups. It's just, I think Florida doesn't really care who they play because they know they can beat anybody.
I have one disagreement there, actually, Alex.
Go ahead.
If you're talking about dragon slaying, Toronto's dragon is Boston. You could have a round one of Florida versus Tampa and Toronto versus Boston. That's a hell of a first round across the Atlantic.
Yeah, I want that actually.
When the NHL got away from the one versus eight system, this is what they wanted, right? They wanted interdivision rivalries the first two rounds of the playoffs. And that's pretty much what you're getting, because you're either getting the Battle of Florida, or you're getting a repeat, at least one repeat of the last 2 years of playoffs. Because Florida played Boston, they played Toronto last year as well, and they played Tampa two consecutive years. Yeah, two straight years. That, I mean, I still like one versus eight, but and I'm 100% on board with getting away from these division playoff formats. But I mean, Bettman and them are going to be nodding their head if this happens, because it's like, this is what we wanted. We wanted these playoff rivalries, and you're getting them year in and year out. So,
I think the funniest thing about that is if you went back to 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, so on and so forth, the Panthers would currently be in the 4-5 matchup against Toronto.
yeah.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
so for that one, it doesn't really matter. But, like, say Carolina finishes ahead of Boston, I mean, they're not.
Which they are right now on
Yeah,
tiebreak.
exactly, right? Say Boston and Carolina meet each other in the conference finals. Boston gets the home ice despite having less points. So that's probably a bigger get away from this divisional format thing.
God, in a 1v8 situation, not only does Florida still play Toronto, but Boston still plays Tampa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that means all the matchups would be the same.
Yeah. At least for the Atlantic. I don't know how it is for the Metro.
Well,
Probably
it
similar.
necessarily the same.
Actually,
Yeah.
yeah, I guess it would inherently be the same matchups, actually. If the Atlantic's all the same, then so would the Metro.
The league cooked. Well, also keep in mind the last wild card spots between like what, five teams still?
It's so stupid.
So it's like it's even
Tampa
worse
has
than
clinched wild card one before the Metro has a third place finisher.
it Tampa could technically still finish what, third in the division?
They are 6 points back of Toronto
Yeah, and Toronto has a game in hand.
actually, yeah, I guess they both have 4 games left.
So here's the
So yeah,
thing.
it's possible.
Florida already has the tiebreaker on Toronto because it's regulation
Yeah.
wins. So if Florida can handle business against two teams they should handle business against, and then Toronto drops one, I'm pretty sure that they should at least clinch that second spot before the last game of the season. I think.
Toronto's cap
I
right
actually was
now.
looking at this just now, so I'll give you the breakdown. So before Tuesday, the Leafs' two games are home against the Devils, which Money Puck gives them about a 64% chance of winning.
They're gonna win that game.
And then they're also home against the Red Wings, which they actually have a better chance, according to Money Puck. They got a 68% chance.
Makes sense. The Devils are a better team than the Red Wings.
So when you do the math, you got a 50% chance of the Leafs winning both games. And if that occurs, then Tuesday night, the division, or not the division, because that's only dependent upon
The
Boston.
seeding for that playoff
Yeah,
series.
that will still be on the line if Toronto wins both games, regardless of what the Panthers do. If the Leafs drop even 1 point, correct me if I'm wrong, if they drop even 1 point, then the Panthers can clinch home ice if they win both games. And regulation overtime doesn't matter in the sense that the Panthers have every tiebreaker clinched. So if they're clinched to have at least as many points as the Leafs, then they will have a better seed than the Leafs. That is guaranteed.
The Leafs season caps at 109 points right now.
Yeah.
The Panthers have 104. One of those games is a head-to-head. So
Right.
that's a 4-point swing.
Yeah, and Florida has the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that the Panthers can get a point in that game and win their other two games, and that would clinch home ice as well.
I will say, Toronto, the end of Toronto's season is brutal. It's
Yeah.
a road back to back against the Panthers and Lightning.
And then you might end up just staying in Florida because.
Yeah, probably, honestly.
So that's also something to kind of look at. I mean, what Toronto's last game is, what, the 18th against Tampa? Or the
17th.
17th? So yeah, it's like if you open the playoffs in the 20th, I don't think they're flying back to Toronto for a day. They might. I don't think they would. But it's a lot of time on the road. So I think that's all the more important for Florida to make sure they finish strong the last two games before that Toronto game. And then, you see what happens.
And Tampa, just to wrap up the schedules of the playoff teams in the Atlantic, because we've talked about Florida, Boston, Toronto. Tampa has Ottawa, Washington, Buffalo, Toronto. So not a remarkably tough end to the season for them either. Having Ottawa and Buffalo, and then they play Washington, and Toronto is really their only meaningful game remaining, I would say. Meaningful for both teams anyway. I know I'm kind of not giving Washington a lot of credit for being in a wild card spot at present, but that's going to come down to game 82 anyway. I mean I'm not taking Washington over Tampa regardless. So there's a decent chance that Tampa wins all four of their remaining games.
I'm expecting Toronto to, especially Matthews, to keep pushing for offense, considering he's four away now from 70. I mean, they're not gonna lay off the pedal right now.
Yeah, what a incredible season Matthews is having. It's kind of a shame that we can't appreciate him more because he's an American hockey player with a biracial background that was born in like the southern United States, to be a little bit like literal here. Like he born and raised in the
In
southern
a
United States.
non-traditional market.
Definitely a non-traditional market. But like that's a guy that normally everybody in this market, regardless of the fact that he didn't play for the Panthers, would be going for. It's really just that he's on one of like the three teams that we go, oh, never mind, that he's on. The Lightning, the Bruins, and the Leafs. It is what it is.
I don't think that takes away from your ability to appreciate him as a player.
But I think that if you ask the, season ticket holders and similar caliber of fan, not caliber, but similar level of passion
That's a
Panthers
very
fans.
elitist term to use in that context.
Yeah, I don't like that term. That's why if you ask the passionate Florida Panthers fans what they think of Matthews, most would say they don't like him, I would guess.
I think what
But
makes it
if this
harder is the annoying Leafs fans who refuse to analyze Austin Matthews outside of his relativity to Sasha Barkov. I guess it's kind of the other way around. It's the annoying Leafs fans who refuse to evaluate Sasha Barkov outside of a direct comparison to Austin Matthews.
Look, honestly, from someone that's not coming, I know we're kind of talking about people looking at it from a fan's lens. Austin Matthews, even if he doesn't score 70, what he's been doing offensively is remarkable. And I think a couple players, like what MacKinnon's been doing, what Kucherov has been doing, it's truly something nice and fun to watch just from a hockey fan's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And I think back to your points about, Panthers fans probably don't have too many nice things to say about Matthews. It's the same thing with the Leafs fans. They definitely don't have too many nice things to say about Matthew Tkachuk. But both franchises would love if that player was on their team. I mean, those are just elite game changer type of players. And yeah, I mean, it's great to watch.
I mean, other than it's just, trying to poo-poo Austin Matthews for being very good and wanting to say Barkov is better, which he is. I don't know of any Panther fans who don't like Austin Matthews. It's not like he's a rat on the ice. So, I don't know. I get your point in terms of like, oh yeah, you never liked a rival star player, but I don't, me personally, I don't have any ill
Yeah,
feelings towards
that's what I was
Austin
saying.
Matthews.
That's what I was saying.
I am
Kucherov for all
curious.
that.
We'll do a poll. I'm going to do a poll, actually, no context. Like, do you like Austin Matthews?
Not been just the poll is Austin Matthews question mark.
There we go. All right.
I don't know what the response options should be though.
Yes or no?
But I have a
Very,
feeling people
very
are going to think, like, do
yes,
you want
no,
him
and
on your
very
team?
no. I mean,
Well, it's the
everyone
same.
wants Austin Matthews on their team.
Yeah,
Like,
who
Yeah, so
wouldn't
I feel like
want
I
a
do have to
regular
say, like,
60
do you
goal
like
scorer?
Austin Matthews?
But it's the same thing with Pastrnak, right? Every time he touches the puck, I
Yeah.
know he's going to do something ridiculous. There's certain players in the league when they
Do
get the
people
puck.
hate him?
No, but he's in Boston, and, like, this is a Panthers podcast, so people probably aren't going to like Pastrnak just because he's from Bo plays for
Look,
Boston.
hate, don't hate the player, hate the game. Fuck the Bruins. But Pasta's awesome. The only player on that team that I genuinely do not like is Charlie McAvoy.
Charlie McAvoy definitely torches the Panthers. Unbiased standpoint, yeah. I mean, Pastrnak's a good player. Matthews a really good player too. And you're gonna run into one of them during the playoffs at some point, if not
Yeah.
both.
And Kucherov while we're at it. I mean,
The Atlantic Division fans are spoiled,
yeah.
very spoiled. Hey,
But
shout out
any
Nick
of those
Suzuki.
teams are going to run into Barkov, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe. I mean,
Exactly. Sam Reinhart. You didn't even
Ryan,
mention the guy with like 50
with
goals.
50 plus goals.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Still
What a
second in
time
the
to be
league,
alive.
13 behind Austin Matthews.
Yeah, I mean,
It's
what Matthews has been
ridiculous.
doing is
Yeah.
ridiculous. What Sam Reinhart's been doing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Shout out Zach Hyman, too.
Yeah. And Reinhart's still one goal above the guy that Connor McDavid uses for target practice. Look, I'm pretty sure that you could stand me in Zach Hyman's spots, and I would also be credited with 30 goals because Connor McDavid can bounce the puck off me and into the net.
I don't know. So they've tried for years in Edmonton and no one was getting close. So they
Have
tried. But
you
hey.
considered that maybe I'm just better than any other winger that McDavid
Hey,
has
I
ever
mean,
played with?
I can make a call. Maybe we get you an ATO in Charlotte. Like,
I'm sure that would work super
just
well.
send me your
Out of
send me
shape, not that tall by hockey standards, 30
send me
years
your
old.
game tape. We maybe get you a two-way Florida Everblades in Charlotte
Look,
ATO.
just send me the SPHL. I'll try to work my way up, but
FBHL, the Glory Series. I do like Zach Hyman, though. I always liked him, even when he was in
me
Toronto.
too. He's Jewish. Why wouldn't I like him? I like every Jewish player that hasn't given me a reason not to like him. Yeah, the Atlantic Division though is just like that's a fucking gauntlet in the playoffs this year. No matter what, whoever's coming out of that division is coming out broken and bruised.
See, the one thing that makes me object to that is comparing them to the Western Conference. And I would argue that, obviously we'll never get to really compare this because once the Panthers even got the opportunity to play against one of these teams, the circumstances will have changed drastically. There will
Yeah.
probably be a bunch of key injuries on both sides. Guys playing with bruised and broken sternums and punctured lungs, that kind of thing. But honestly, like I'm very glad that they don't have to play the Avalanche. I'm very glad they don't have to play the Stars. I'm very glad they don't have to play the Oilers. I don't know if there's a single Eastern Conference team that scares me as much as those three. Hypothetically, I guess. So when you look at the Atlantic Division, yes, the Leafs have Matthews. Yes, the Bruins have Pastrnak. But in both of those cases, look at their defense. Honestly, add in, yes, the Lightning have Kucherov, because look at the Lightning defense without McDonough, without Sergachev, because he's out for the year.
I don't know, man. According to the players poll, Victor Hedman is the most feared defender in the league.
Yeah, because the players poll is stuck like 5 years retro, because they still call him Barkov the most underrated player.
Did they poll
How can he
underrated
still
player
be?
this year? I saw Barkov was second in most complete player.
You know what I found funny about that, Alex, is they had Barkov as the second most complete player. I don't think I saw him in the top five of like best defensive players or best defensive forwards or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean the players poll, like you also don't know how many people they're talking to,
Yeah. I've
which
always just
division.
assumed it's literally it's sent to like every player and then whoever responds.
Yeah, it's like which division, like if you're talking to like 35 guys in the same division, they're probably going to say Kopitar over Barkov. And then if you talk to the guys in the Atlantic, they're probably saying, "Oh yeah, Barkov for sure." I mean, but yeah. I've talked to a couple players around the league, and they've all really respected Barkov's two-way game for sure. And I mean, I don't think we have to keep putting him underrated for like the ninth straight year.
Yeah.
Everyone knows he's a legit player in the league.
See, Barkov was not in the top five for winning a face-off.
It's probably the face-off one. Hey, Anton Lundell should have got some votes there. That guy wins draws
That's an
like it.
interesting take.
That guy wins draws like it's nothing.
I'm actually curious about this now. Hold on.
They should ask who puts the most money down on face-offs. I remember that podcast clip with, I think it was Jack Hughes talking about when he did a face-off with Draisaitl, and he's saying, like, maybe it was Trevor
I
Zegras. It
think it
was
was
one of those.
Zegras, where he said he whipped it back.
Yeah, and then like after the game, he saw a Venmo for $200 from Draisaitl or something like that. That story's awesome. That's the kind of thing that we should encourage, not like necessarily that these guys should be Michael Jordan gambling their entire savings on everything that they do, but like that's really funny.
I think we should take a note from the Athletics player poll and ask the PA ask everyone who's the biggest rats in the league. I'd love to see that.
I feel like the
They did
player
kind of
poll
do
does
that
that.
with like the player that you hate playing against the most but would love to have on
Yeah.
your own team. Although one
Yeah.
of the responses was McDavid, so
No, I appreciate that. I can appreciate the answer to who do you hate playing against being Connor McDavid.
I mean, Brad Marchand had like 31% of the
He
votes.
was number one.
Yeah. And then McDavid in second with 17. And
I
then
think
Matthew
Tkachuk was
Tkachuk in third.
fourth. No, he
Matthew
was
Tkachuk was
third.
third. But I can respect players honestly answering like, who do you enjoy playing against the least? And their answer is McDavid just because he can burn you every time.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a
I yeah.
defender watching that. I mean, McKinnon in the same boat. McKinnon starts
Oh
taking
my
two, three
God.
steps. I'm just getting out of the way, honestly.
I mean, like, in terms of like the freak athleticism for a hockey player, maybe McKinnon might be number one in the league now. Just the things that he do not seem possible for a human body to exert that much force, go that quickly. Like, it's
I don't know.
You
Every
would
time
say
I
that it's unbelievable, but you do believe it because it's him, like the things that he does.
see McKinnon touch the puck with open space, you're like, he's gonna walk somebody, if not the whole team.
And he might just like gallop around them. He might not like juke them out of their skates.
It's kind of like McDavid, right? You don't necessarily think of McDavid for having Patrick Kane hands, even though he probably could pull that out of his bag too. But one quick sidestep and he's gone. Kind of like Barkov. Barkov will do the same thing where he kind of like catches a guy on his heels and then goes the other way.
Yeah, good luck on again on the boards against Barkov. He's pretty much got you right where he wants you.
Do you guys know that Vladimir Tarasenko is 26th in the league in faceoff percentage?
I don't even think he's taken a draw with the Panthers yet.
I don't think he has either,
So what
but
you're
did
saying
he?
is that he has never lost a draw for the Panthers.
That's true.
Wow. Yeah,
What is he like, 4 for 6 on the draws and like.
right. I already changed the filter to just look at centers because I realized that that was probably a pitfall of what I'm of this exercise.
we have a running joke, and it's not even a joke because I think it's facts. I'm pretty sure Jonah Gadvich has like the greatest PIMS to points ratio in the NHL. I think he has like 4 points and he has like 120 something penalty minutes. I'm pretty sure he's first in the league in that. And for like, I'm pretty sure he's still first in the league for PIMS to a
Rock
points ratio.
star.
I can confirm, by the way, Anton Lundell, 43rd best center in the league in faceoff percentage with a 54.29.
There we go, Lundy.
If you're curious, Barkov is 17th.
Wow. What's Reinhardt? Reinhardt gets a couple draws in.
Reinhardt is pretty, he does take his fair share.
Because like Florida respects him enough to, if it's on his strong side, they're putting him instead of Barkov in the draw.
174th with a 44.08.
Okay. So this is
That
amazing.
honestly, that surprises me. I feel like he wins more faceoffs than he loses. I feel like whenever he's in the circle, he does a pretty good job. But maybe I just only notice when he's in the circle when the Panthers are on the power play because they like switching between Barkov and Reinhardt, depending on which side of the ice the faceoff's on the power play.
So I have an update on the Austin Matthews poll. The question in the tweet was, do you like Austin Matthews? This was tweeted about 12 minutes ago. And remarkably, 30% have said yes, 30% have said no, and 40% have said indifferent slash see results. Incredible stuff.
I'll take
I
the in.
refuse to believe that most Panthers, or I guess not most, but most people, I'm just gonna say most, I don't care. Most people don't have an opinion. That's ridiculous.
A plurality.
Plurality, thank you.
I could barely say it, so I understand.
I'd probably vote see results too. I can't even cap with you guys.
If he
I
was
would vote
not
yes, I
American,
do like Austin Matthews.
I would probably vote indifferent too, but that's the thing that clinches it for me,
You know what's really
because he's going to be on Team
remarkable
USA.
is that we have changed the subject in between Alex's bouts being on camera.
Oh my God,
And
yes.
yet, if you were Alex, you would assume, based on the conversation that he left and the one to which he returned, that we've been talking about Austin Matthews this entire time.
That was actually perfect timing too, because the second he sat down, we were once again talking about Austin Matt. I don't even know what we were talking about before,
Austin
honestly.
Matthews.
It honestly
We were
might have been
talking
his Austin
about
Matthews.
Jonah Gadjevich's
The PIMS
PIMS to
to points
points
which
ratio,
I am currently
faceoffs.
mathing.
I do have a definitive answer on why Austin Matthews is a good thing. Because he is an example of why hockey in Arizona works. And I am sure there are a ton of Toronto Maple Leaf fans taking victory laps today at the death, the seemingly apparent death of the Arizona Coyotes as they move to Salt Lake City. They don't exist. Austin Matthews is doesn't exist to save that franchise unless the Arizona Coyotes exist.
Matthew Nyes is also from Scottsdale.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that
No,
there's so many.
there's a handful of NHLers from the Phoenix area. And they all credit the Arizona Coyotes being the reason they picked up a hockey stick.
I mean, Josh Doan technically counts for that, even though his dad was on the Coyotes.
See, but that's not the argument I'm not trying.
No, I
Like,
know what you mean. Like, guys that would never have touched a hockey stick if the Coyotes weren't in town.
Right. This podcast does not exist without the Florida Panthers. I do not pick up a hockey stick and become a Panthers fan without the or a hockey fan without the Florida Panthers. TJ is also local, so I doubt he becomes a hockey fan. I know, Jacob, you're originally from Chicago, right?
And TJ grew up in Philly.
So,
T
damn it.
TJ
Okay,
was a
so it's just
Flyers
me.
fan before he was a Panthers fan.
Okay, so then
But I was a lapsed sports fan, and like going to a game got me back into it.
Okay, well, either way, I don't exist as a hockey fan. Half of my
I do.
identity as a
Yeah.
person doesn't exist without a hockey team coming to South
I
Florida.
do, but I'm probably still a Blackhawks fan.
Right. But again, hockey in these cities matters. It has an impact. The reason the Coyotes didn't work is because they've been plagued by bad ownership for years. We all know as Panthers fans what bad ownership can do.
No, and I really honestly feel for the Arizona fans because, I mean, I even though like I have family from Canada and Europe, so we would have liked hockey probably anyways. I grew up here. I played hockey here. I watched the Panthers growing up. There was a time where there was like 4,000 people in the seats, and we're like, well, are they gonna like is the old ownership gonna sell? Are they gonna move to Quebec City? Are they moving somewhere else? Like, I mean, the Panthers were in a very, very similar situation about 12
Yeah.
years ago until
Not
the new
even 12,
ownership.
7, 8 years ago, even
Yeah.
with the new owners, the attendance was still down. The questions were still there when, Dale Tallon was allegedly told to cut $10 million of salary after the
Oh, yeah.
which signing was it that didn't work that
Riley Smith,
yeah,
Jason
it was
Demaris, that summer, that summer.
yeah. After that summer, the computer boy era, he was allegedly told to cut 10 million. We don't know how true that actually was. I think it was true, but we're not getting into that today. But like the rumors persisted then. I remember the game where like 500 Canucks fan, not Canucks, Quebec Nordiques fans came down to scout the Florida Panthers and see what it would be like to for that team to come there. Like it was the most obnoxious thing. And it could have been us. And fortunately, it's not. But like today is a bad day for the NHL, and it's a bad day for hockey that a market that the NHL has tried and tried to make work is not going to. And it's 100% the fault of some of the worst owners in all of professional sports.
And I mean, clearly hockey works in the South, in the Sun Belt, like
Yeah.
LA, multiple cups, Vegas. I mean, I've covered multiple games in Vegas. It's one of the loudest buildings in the NHL.
Yep.
Everything they do, you walk in the casinos on game day, they're wearing Knights jerseys. It's unbelievable. I mean, if they had a winning team, if they had ownership that would build around them, I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It's truly sad because if you remember the when the Coyotes had good teams, they were fun to watch.
Yeah. They had people in the stand regardless of the stadium situation. Like they had support. 12, I think it's been 12 years since the last playoffs. And they missed it like 15 of the last 16. You're not going to get anywhere with that. Like we saw Tuesday night against the Ottawa Senators for years was a 2000 plus real attendance game. Now it was, 15,000 easily last night.
And they definitely sold 18,000 tickets, like.
I do have an update on the Pims to points ratio, by the way.
Ooh.
In first place, it is not Gadjevich in first. Anyone
Is
wanna?
it from Arizona? Okay, it's not.
Anyone
Is it
want to
Rempe?
hazard a guess? Alex is correct with 59 Pims to 2 points for a ratio of 29.5 penalty minutes to each point. New York Rangers, Matt Rempe.
Penalties
Second
last year. He played
place.
like 13 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been tossed in three of them.
That's a.
Second place with 117 Pims to 4 points for a ratio of
Jonah Gadjevich.
29.25. Ross Johnston.
Wow.
Ooh, that's another good one.
Third place, 104 Pims to 4 points for a ratio of 26 Pims per point.
There's
Jonah
Jonah.
Gadjevich.
There we go. He was
So
up there
he's
for
in
a
third.
while, then he sat out a couple games
I'd say third
and then
place
Matt
is still
Rempe
pretty up there.
existed. Because that didn't happen until
Yeah.
deep into the year. Well, I mean, at least halfway into the year.
It was the what, the stadium series, like right
Stadium
around
Series
then.
game. What a game. Unbelievable. Maybe probably still my favorite game of the year
That was a
that
good
didn't
game.
involve the Panthers. That was a lot of
Other
fun.
names of note, 47 PIMs to 5 points for a ratio of 9.4 PIMs for PIMs per point in 23rd place in the league.
Ryan Lomberg.
Friend of the show, John Ludwig.
Oh, John Ludwig. My guy.
Well, the best penalty stats of the season is that as they've called him in Florida, that goon, Alexander Barkov, with his
Career high.
career high
Career high
27
of
penalty
20.
minutes in 70 games. That is, excuse me, not 27, 24 penalty minutes, which is six higher than his previous career high. So you got to watch out for number 16 on the Panthers, because can't stay out of the box
The only
apparently.
way he can make a living in the game today.
24 PIMs to his 76 points, with a 0.32 PIM to point ratio in 710th place in the league, Sasha Barkov.
I'm curious as to how many points the player that has the most points that has not taken a penalty this year.
Well, let me sort this list.
Let's find
NHL
out.
stats is a great thing.
What's funny about Barkov's penalty minute numbers is you could easily point to, I would say, half of them and just
It's
eat
Noah
like
Cates, 17
Interesting.
points to 0 PIMs. That's the
Great
most.
defensive
Actually,
player,
pretty
is
good.
my understanding.
I'm surprised that the number is that low, though. I'm surprised that 17 points is the most points by someone without a single penalty taken.
Well, how many games has he played? Because you got to play, what, like
I'm
50
pretty sure he
games?
plays most games. He just
Yeah.
doesn't play big minutes. Anyway, Alex, you were saying about Barkov's penalties. Half of them are something.
Or bad calls. Like, you're looking at him and it's just like, how is that a penalty?
Cates has played 56 games this season, by the way. 5 goals, 12 assists.
That's impressive. I would have taken like 16 penalties in my first two games. And then I'd be in Charlotte, then Florida, and then I'd end up in the FPHL.
Alex Nylander has the most points among players with only one penalty taken at 14.
And all of those have been in like the last week and a half.
Shea Theodore, 39 points, 4 penalty minutes taken.
Solid for a defenseman, especially.
That should get some Lady Bing consideration.
Ooh, ah, that is a good point.
Kyle Connor, 56 points to 6 PIMs.
He's a normal Lady Bing contender,
Tommy
mainly because
Novak,
he doesn't play
41
defense.
points to 6 PIMs.
Oh, that's our guy for the Bing. No question.
Gus Nyquist, 72 points to 8 PIMs.
Nashville.
And that's
Another
where we start
Nashville
seeing the
guy.
points drop off. Nick Schmaltz, 60
It
points,
is
10
a.
PIMs.
It is official. Bruno
Yeah.
and the Predators are in the playoffs.
Good for them.
Yeah, he probably wins the Jack Adams.
I think it's gonna be Rick Tocchet
It's gonna be
still.
talking and it shouldn't be.
It should be Brunette.
Who is
Like,
talking even coach these days?
Vancouver.
Vancouver? Yeah.
I mean,
Like,
Vancouver going from out of the playoffs to probably Pacific Division winners is pretty impressive,
yeah,
but
but they're not good.
yeah, they're so fraudulent. And it's like every single person with
well,
like a half a brain in terms of analytics is like, Vancouver isn't good. Vancouver isn't good. And
that's too far. They're not elite. They're good. They're like they would be a playoff team with normal PDO.
they're a playoff team in that the Pacific Division is fucking garbage.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver,
Edmonton, no. Edmonton is
and
just Connor
LA.
McDavid dragging his
Okay,
team
but
to
that's really
success.
good. That's enough.
Yeah, but
Honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of the Jack Adams Award anyways, because
yeah, slightly.
like John Cooper's never won it and he's been nominated twice. I mean, that guy went to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals, won 2 of them. I mean, I know he had a great team, but like still.
Yeah, like
So
that's unusual.
it's like Eric Spoelstra never getting coach of the year.
Yeah. I
It's
will say Nashville is in a funny position, or rather, the Western Conference is in a funny position. If we're going to call out that it's funny for Tampa to have clinched wild card one before a third Metro team clinched a spot, the West is in a similar situation with Nashville having clinched wild card one, probably not going to be able to catch Winnipeg for a third in the Central. but the Pacific Division has not had a third place finisher clinch yet. So, same situation, the East and West, with one division just dominating the conference, basically.
It's just not as close.
Yeah.
So we've already
There
kind
are
of.
realistically only like two or three teams fighting for those last two spots in the West, whereas the East has like five teams that could all
What is it like
reasonably get it.
LA and St.
Realistically,
Louis?
there are two teams fighting for the last two spots in the
Yeah, it's
West.
LA, and Vegas. St. Louis is 5 points back of Vegas.
It will be three at the end of the night because Vegas is going to lose in regulation. St. Louis is about to win, but still, like, come on. I need one more night like that to occur before I'm saying that this is officially close.
Damn, I wish they played each other one more time before the season ended, but oh well.
Hey, the playoffs are gonna be phenomenal. There's probably 15 teams that get upset whoever they play. Or not
Yeah, and
upset,
then
excuse
there's whoever
me.
is gonna be the second wild card in the
Yeah, it's
honestly
like
the third seed in the Metro too, but go
I do
ahead.
think Pittsburgh, if they get in,
True.
they could like I think
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's kind of like on a similar trajectory as Florida was last year. It was like a team that
Yeah.
probably should have been in earlier than they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gets carried by one or two players at the end. Crosby's Matthew Tkachuk, like in this sense, where Crosby just putting that team on his back a little bit.
Crosby's
Yeah.
Tkachuk and Alex Lyon in this situation.
Alex, no, Alex Lyon is Alex Nedeljkovic. They even got a
Exactly.
goalie named Alex that's carrying them. It's
Man,
like,
goalies named Alex are so cool.
I agree.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a team where if they get in, I think they could give whoever they play a very tough series, even
Yeah,
if it's
and
New
then
York.
Jari coming back from illness, just like Bob, to all of a sudden just steal three series in a row would be kind of unfortunate for us, but like would be cool in general.
For what it's
Disagree.
worth, Pittsburgh's final game of the regular season is against the Islanders.
Yeah. Although
They
I think the
don't play
Islanders,
Washington anymore, which is unfortunate.
there is a little bit of distance between the Islanders and everybody right now.
Pittsburgh is only 3 points behind the Islanders. With a head-to-head game, that's only one game's difference.
Yeah, the Islanders do play the Rangers on Saturday night, but them and the Penguins are the only teams that are still remaining that they play against,
Islanders
you
play
know,
Montreal,
alive.
the Rangers, the Devils, and the Penguins. Yeah.
A moment to say Ubis Balinskas just continues to look very good and like got a real strong argument for being in the top six when the
And
playoffs
we
come
liked
around.
him from the preseason. Like,
Yeah.
he was legit.
Oh, and speaking of Czech defensemen, to
Oh, yes.
Andrew Imber's chagrin, that's the opposite of happy feelings, right? I don't remember what words
Yes.
mean. They've
Technically, I
signed this
guess it
guy,
is.
the Panthers signed a 2-year entry level deal with another Czech defenseman named.
Mikuláš Hovorka.
Thank you.
Both in the Czech League, but Balinskas is Latvian, but they found them
Yeah.
both in the Czech League.
Right, that's what I meant. They're both coming from the Extraliga.
6'6",
Yeah.
229 pounds.
Huge.
That is
An absolute unit.
light for that weight.
Yeah,
Or for that
he's a hockey
Nikola.
player. He skates around a lot.
I mean, Dustin Byfuglien was like 280.
But he's also Dustin Byfuglien.
That's
Like, he's
fair.
one of
Dustin Byfuglien
one.
was also abnormally fast. Like, that guy had wheels.
Skating is a lot about technique, really. Like Phil Kessel
Ovi
was one of the
Ovi's
best skaters.
236 at like 6'2".
And those, like, the weight they come in at the beginning of the season to the weight they end the season with is
Yeah.
drastically different. I mean, if a guy's 230 on weigh-in day, he's probably 215 at the end of the season because they're not lifting heavy during
And
the
then
season.
there are goalies who tend to lose like 10 pounds a game.
They'll lose a lot of water weight for sure.
I always loved seeing that picture of Bobrovsky, like post-game Bob just stick thin.
I'm the one that tweeted that, the one with him in the chain.
Oh,
Yeah, it was me.
was In
With
that
him in
case, I should
Kodak
give
black
photo
chain.
credit to Alex Baumgartner of
Oh,
Five
I got
Reasons.
no credits on those. I mean, I did map it
Ridiculous.
off of Kodak's Instagram, but I did credit him. But I'm the one that got it going. That photo resurfaces every season, the last two
It's
seasons.
great.
It's hilarious.
It's a very funny photo. I just goalies in general are hilarious to me, but that's
Goalies are the
probably an
best.
off-season conversation because I'm sure Alex has things to say
Yeah, you need to
to
get
that
Dwork on
end.
that episode.
Oh yeah, we've gotten the goalie union together before with Dwork and Ian Margle.
Those were the best episodes we do.
Gentlemen, anything else before we wrap?
I did want to talk about this Eastern Conference playoff race. We've touched on it a little bit, but the one thing that I think we haven't touched on enough is that the Flyers' epic collapse. I can't remember anything like this ever happening. Like,
Oh my goodness, I didn't even notice that they're suddenly like
I mean,
way out of it.
we've seen some collapses, but at the same time, like, this really isn't unexpected because that team is not good. And two, like, you almost have to commend the Flyers organization for not believing the fool's gold that that roster was and still selling at the deadline. Like,
They were in third place in the Metro on April 1st. Now they are the third team out of a wild card spot.
yeah, they're four
That's
games out of
a pretty
third.
remarkable collapse.
They're only 2 games out of a wild card. 2 points, I'm sorry. 2 points out of a wild card
Yeah,
spot,
but to
though.
go from a divisional spot to the third team out of a wild card spot is a notable collapse.
Yeah, and they do play that team in the final game of the season at home. They
They
play
are
the Capitals.
1-6-3 in their last 10 games.
That's the thing that's remarkable. And they just lost to the Canadiens 9-3.
Oh boy.
I believe they were down 6-0 in this game. I believe they were down.
It was 8-1 at one
It
point.
was 8-1. Yeah, that was the biggest
Oh, yeah,
discrepancy.
Juraj Slafkovský had his first NHL hat trick.
I mean, the
He's had
Panthers
quite the
did also get
turnaround.
their asses kicked by
He's got
Montreal like
19
a week
goals.
ago.
Good for him.
Montreal always plays spoiler at the end of seasons for like no reason. Remember when they beat
Well,
the Panthers with like 10-1 when they played
oh yeah, when up against Jonas Johansson.
the
Yeah, but
Jonas Johansson game? But like that
that
was Florida already
was
clinched the President's
yeah, they clinched
Trophy.
the President's
They
Trophy.
played nobody. I mean, they literally played nobody so bad that Anton Lundell dressed and did not take a shift because they
Yeah.
had to have 18 guys on the bench.
Hey,
I think it
that'll be
was
the
two
last thing.
players.
That'll be the last thing I bring up. Anton Lundell was doing what he did last season, and he's hitting his form at the perfect time
Yeah, it is
going into the
really, really
playoffs.
nice to
Yeah.
have that.
And
I'm gonna
Etu
continue to
Ristiainen's
lobby.
kind of done that too.
Like the line of Rodriguez, Lustrine, and Lundell, I think has been more than the sum of its parts for any line that those guys have been on, like to the most extent. Like that should be the third line. That line works. And I
Yep.
mean, we've seen Rodriguez work with Barkov and Reinhart too, but the fact of the matter is that Rodriguez kind of works with anybody, and Barkov and Reinhart kind of work with anybody as well. We've seen Lundell and Lustrinen struggle a lot this year, and they really haven't with Rodriguez with them.
That line's three guys that are kind of like, I'll plug them where I need to in the lineup,
Yep.
and they'll probably do exactly what I need them to do.
I think it's probably worth noting that Etu Lundell Rodriguez on 193 minutes together has the best expected goals percentage on the team at
This
67.4.
is a team with Sam Reinhart, Alexander Barkov, Matthew Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe, Vladimir Tarasenko, Sam Bennett, Wayne Gretzky,
Ryan
Bobby Orr.
Lomberg.
That just
My
felt like a
Mike
natural
Bossy.
continuation of the list, even though it's actually inaccurate.
Mario Lemieux.
Yeah. All
Adam
Panthers.
Foote.
Pavel Bure.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Rob Niedermeyer.
There we go.
Trendbreaker. I know why, but trendbreaker. Verhaeghe, Barkov, Reinhart is second, by the way. Reinhart, Barkov, Rodriguez is third. So I guess, yeah, to TJ's point, all three of those guys are guys that you can put with anyone and they'll just be great.
Yeah. Detroit has fallen off here in terms of that playoff race. They did get that win over Buffalo. Can't remember when it was. I think it was Sunday. So they're in and around it, but it's going to come down to right to the very end. And there are a bunch of games where these teams are going to be playing each other. The light or I clicked on the Lightning by accident when I meant to click on the Red Wings. Red Wings are playing the Penguins tomorrow. Today, if you're listening, Thursday. The Flyers are playing against the Capitals. And the Islanders are playing against the Penguins. So there's still a lot to play for in the Eastern Conference, especially. We've already kind of covered the Panthers angle. It's about 50-50 as to whether it comes down to that game against the Leafs. At least, like, it'll probably still be relevant then, because the Leafs will probably drop some points, but they might drop them on Wednesday after the
Well,
game against the Panthers.
I want to do a little bit of hypotheticals here and hear me out on this. If it does come down to that last game, I think it's next Thursday for home ice advantage. If I am Paul Maurice, I play the scrubs. And here's why. You are already in Toronto's head. When have you ever seen a coach take a timeout with a two-goal lead in the third period? Anyone?
Bold of you to assume that I remember timeouts well enough to even answer that question.
Well, I do remember this timeout from the most recent
I
game.
didn't.
Yeah, when the
You can
Panthers
tell
were.
me that any coach took a timeout at any game state with any amount of time left, and I would have no choice but to believe you.
Okay, well, it stuck out to me because it was so odd that, because, if you remember, the Leafs had a 5-1 lead going into the third period. The Panthers started off with a torrid pace, made it 5-4, and the Leafs took it, or they made it 5-3, and Sheldon Keefe took a timeout. Immediately after that timeout, the meeting when the end of the timeout happened, I was like, oh, he is nervous. He cannot lose this game. And he is nervous about his team with still a two-goal lead and like 12 minutes left in the third. Immediately after that, Evan Rodriguez hit the post, which would have made it 5-4. Panthers did end up getting it to one goal with Sam Reinhart late and ended up losing. But to me, that showed me the Panthers are in the Leafs' head. And you could see it when Austin Matthews clinched the game with that empty netter. Like he kind of looked it around like to his teammates, like, yeah, we got this one. We needed this one. And I want to feed that. I'll bring up another scenario. Remember a few years ago during the COVID season when the Panthers finished with two home games against the Lightning, and it was already determined that those two teams would be playing in the first round. Does anyone remember who won those two games?
The
Yes, but
Panthers.
only because TJ mentioned this earlier in the episode.
I did. Yeah, I was talking about explicitly this.
And we also talked. We
So
also
just edit
said
all this out then.
who they're gonna rest if that game does come down in the final one, and they basically made it clear that they'll play. What Maurice said was, "I know who my goalies are the next two games. We'll find out about the third." So I think they are gonna be playing for that home ice.
I do have one more interesting thing to note on the Evan Rodriguez XG point. Just looking at I'm looking at Moneypuck here. I removed the TOI filter on the lines tool. Evan Rodriguez is present on four of the top five lines by expected goals percentage and six of the top 10.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
He's good. I've heard enough of this Evan Rodriguez slander on the fact that he doesn't himself put up a ton of points
But he
because
has like 28
he's
assists.
so good at driving play and being like,
He
he's so
doesn't.
good at controlling the flow of the
Every
game.
line he's on does better.
He does not make a lot of money. They got him on a good term, and he does exactly what they like. I had people asking me, like, you think he's gonna score 30? I'm like, no chance he's scoring 30.
Yeah, that's
I don't
not what
even.
he does.
He's
No.
probably not even gonna score 20. He might, but what he does is he makes really good players look even better. Slight little bumper passes, slight little fakes, get a guy open, driving the net, spinning back, hitting someone on the slot. He's not necessarily a driver by any means, but he makes those drivers more open, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
Like,
it is. And he's
he's a play
fantastic
driver.
defensively.
The reason Evan Rodriguez gets so much hate is because who he replaced in the lineup and how much Anthony Duclair was a fan favorite.
And because
Right.
Anthony Duclair was a guy that like the casual fan could evaluate what he was good at. He put
Yeah.
the puck in the net and he passed it to the guy who put the puck in the net.
And he
And it's not
skated
that Evan
very fast.
Rodriguez doesn't do those things, because he does to an extent. But the things that he's doing around, and like this is not a slight on Duke because they're just different players at the end of the day, but the things that he does are not the kind of things that Duclair does. And one is more appreciated by the casual fan than the other. And I'm not even just talking about the Panthers fan base. I mean, in general, if you're talking to a hockey fan, then they're like, you know, which of these players is better? They're probably saying, oh, I actually have a well-established opinion on this. And meanwhile, they've got their phone in their hand and they're Googling who has more points. You know,
Yeah.
that's just how it is.
There's a reason guys like Duclair and Mike Hoffman rarely find themselves on elite teams. Their goals are a lot of empty calories.
But I mean, Duclair's been on some good Panthers teams.
Yeah, didn't Anthony Duclair make it to the Stanley Cup final with
I
one
said
of the best Panthers teams ever?
rarely.
He
And Mike
also
Hoffman was on
scored
that really
in the cup
fun.
final.
That's true. Mike Hoffman was also on that like actually really good and very fun Senators
One
team
goal
in
away from the
2016.
Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the team was not good. That team was so fraudulent.
That team was so good.
That team had Car Prime Carlson, like right before Prime Stone, probably Prime Mike Hoffman.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good team. They had
They had a
Vince Zibanejad
young
that
Mika
year. Greg Anderson.
Zibanejad. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that team was dirty.
That team was so good.
That team would have won the cup if they won that game seven. I think they would have won the
The
cup.
Penguins that year. Well, I guess that's true, yes. But the Penguins that year, like, they should have won the cup.
Oh,
They
yeah.
had it going. They really had it going.
Anthony Stolarz was it second
Oh,
in.
yeah.
Anthony Stolarz was second in points for the season series with the Senators if he was on the Senators. Only Thomas Chabot with 2 points had more points than Anthony Stolarz in the 4 games the Senators played against the Panthers.
And by the way, Stolarz only played one game.
Yeah, and he's also a
And
goalie.
he's a goalie who played one game.
Hey, that's money man Anthony Stolarz there.
That's
He's
right. He's.
I
You
mean,
need a primary assist. Who do you call?
if there's a goalie that's gonna score a goal in an NHL game next, Anthony Stolarz is.
Oh, he
He's
wants it. He
tried
wants
multiple
it.
times
Well, he's
this year.
publicly said, like, I want that goal next.
I mean,
I
he's
hope he gets
definitely
it.
gone for it. Oh, he's going to. He's
I
got.
hope he goes for it obnoxiously. I hope he goes for it in tied games with a goalie in the other net.
He's gonna go for it in game 82 against Toronto. It's gonna be like
Fuck it,
overtime.
Vesalatoskala
It's gonna
down
be
there somewhere.
overtime. Next goal gets home ice in round one, and you're just gonna see Stolarz ripping bombs across the ice.
I mean, you guys seen the video of him in practice taking clappers, right?
Oh
That was great.
What a legend. All right, who's getting into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference? We know six of the teams. Who are the other
The
two?
Panthers are.
I'll go Detroit. And
Detroit?
Pittsburgh.
Are you out of your mind?
I just wanted to see your reaction.
Pittsburgh Islanders.
I'm with Bomb, Pittsburgh Islanders.
I want to say that too, but that just feels so boring.
You didn't ask for fun. You said who's getting in, and those are the two that are getting in.
The fun answer is Pittsburgh and I guess Washington, because
Yeah,
Ovi.
that's what I want to say. I want to say Pittsburgh, Washington. They don't with yeah, with them not playing each other again, it is possible for them both to make it.
It's totally
It's
possible.
possible. I
I'm
mean,
gonna go with
either.
that. Fuck the Islanders. I'm going Washington and
Actually, you know
Pittsburgh
what
are in.
the fun thing to happen would be the Flyers to win their next three games by a combined score of 16-2 and get in. That would be really fun.
Jeez.
I'm going Washington, Pittsburgh though. All
Washington,
right,
Pittsburgh would be fun.
Marlins still suck. Inter Miami's playing right now, so no comment on that. Alex Lopez, anything you want to say about the Heat?
If you're anticipating a repeat of last year, you've got another thing coming.
I just hope they play the Bucks in round one because I think that Giannis might be playing about 80% capacity right now.
Getting the Bucks in round one would be exactly what you want as a Heat fan.
Yeah, and it's very, very possible still.
Where is this Inter Miami game on TV?
I think it's on Fox Sports One.
I do want to point out we were wrong about something. Well, Mika Zibanejad was not on the Sens team that made
So
it
he
to the
wasn't on that
conference final.
team.
He had gotten traded the summer
Traded for
before.
Derek Broussard.
Yeah.
All that was
right.
when Broussard was a
Still,
better player.
Even at the time, I was like, what the hell is Ottawa thinking?
Yeah, Broussard was good then.
Zibanejad was as good already. And
yeah,
Ottawa
he
gave up the higher pick and the younger player.
So it's almost like the Ottawa Senators have been poorly run for like three
Ever
decades.
Since 2017. I guess since
and they,
2016.
No, but like even before that, because they screwed up having Prime Carlson, almost Prime Stone. Lots of good players. They had the one playoff run, I know. Because they never got close ever again.
That's true. You guys remember when Kyle Turris didn't suck?
That was wild.
Because good Kyle Turris was on that Sens team.
Bobby Ryan wasn't on that team, right?
Yes, he was.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bobby
yeah,
Ryan
scored.
Was not that good anymore, but he was there.
He scored the first goal in the series against the Pens.
Cody
I remember
Ceci,
that.
A young Cody Ceci was on that team.
Cody Ceci was never good, though.
He was good, like, last year. And it was funny. Like, in Toronto.
All right. So, I think that we should come towards the ending this episode, but there is one thing that we haven't talked about yet, which is Austin Matthews. I'm just kidding.
Bomb, why don't you go ahead and give us your plugs? Where can people find you?
If I'm not at the infield, you can find me on Twitter at abaumgartner91.
That's a great plug. All right, rate us 5 stars at Mullet Arena, where the new Salt Lake City AHL affiliate will be playing. That,
oh,
by the
wow.
way, is based on a tweet that I just saw from Chris Johnston. That's not like, I wish I was making that up for the comedy. No, apparently, if the Arizona Coyotes do end up moving to Salt Lake City, the understanding is that the Salt Lake City AHL affiliate will play at Mullet Arena.
That's like the Panthers didn't bring back Andrew Burnett, but like you can still stay with the team. You just can't coach.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
So with all that said, good night, everybody. Go Panthers.